right now for the reading of God's word. This wasn't a message I was really looking forward to. There's messages that I'm looking forward to preaching. This wasn't one of them, but I'm going to go ahead anyhow. All right. It does have some good parts in it, though. I'm glad I'm saved. I'll give you the good news first. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm saved. Anybody glad to be saved? We're going to use that. We'll take a positive subject. Amen. But I have some things I need to talk to you about today. So I'm going to ask you just to kind of bear with me on today. And yes, I will. We'll start at Titus chapter number 3. I have quite a few scriptures, but I guess we can use this one today to open up with verse number 1, and we'll go verse 1 through 7. I'm going to jump right into this today. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. I pause for effect. To be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Y'all hear that? Person you talking about. Sometimes we were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 4, how about you read that? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his, what, y'all?
Mercy.
All right, let's go back again on verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Now, when you get to heaven and you shout, I made it, it's not going to be because of just everything that you've done, your works of righteousness, all right? But according to his mercy, he saved us. Y'all hear that? How many are glad to be saved? Saved us. I'm glad to be saved by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm glad I'm saved. We'll use that as a subject today. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these that have gathered here and those who may be listening, God, from distant places. I thank you, Father, for the word that you would have for us today. I pray, God, that we would apply it to our hearts, minds, and lives. I pray that you would change us. I pray that we would be saved. I pray, God, that you would even help us, Lord, to one day rejoice together on the other side. God, we thank you and praise you, and I ask your blessings on the remainder of this service. And can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'm saved. You can be seated at this time. Amen. Glad to be saved. Glad I'm saved. If we have a good experience with a particular establishment or a business, a restaurant, we want to tell others about it. go eat over there, or, you know, you need to go over there. Hoping you have a good experience here, and you can tell other people about what's going on here at Agape, and, you know, I hope you would share it, you know, and tell other people. If you go any particular place and you have a good experience, but you want to tell other people. If you had a bad experience, you probably want to warn them not to go to that place. And it's nothing like having good customer service. I can remember a couple of years ago when Popeyes, y'all eat at Popeyes, I'm only one of them, they came out with a chicken sandwich. And it was a hype. I mean, it was probably about 3-4 years ago, wasn't it? I mean, everybody was trying this chicken sandwich, and, you know, to me, I associated Chick-fil-A with the chicken sandwiches, and I thought, you know, after everybody was taking this chicken sandwich challenge, if you will, I had to go ahead, and I went on 38th Street, the one I know about, and I'm telling you, you know, the chicken sandwich was good, but was it worth what I went through to get it? You know, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and stay over here with Chick-fil-A because it was just, you know, you can't beat that service. I mean, good grief. You know, the service is just, you know, most of the time when you go, how many get pretty good service? All right, so good. You know, I can think of other times that I've had pretty good service at, you know, hotels and, you know, I've had a good stay. There's a big difference between staying in a one-star hotel or a two-star hotel and then if you ever had the opportunity to stay in a four-star hotel. Anybody in here ever stayed in a five-star hotel before? I remember I had a job that sent me, and I think it was a five-star hotel. I mean, just real nice. You can see why, you know, it had that five-star review or rating, you know, and a lot of times we give, you know, just about everybody a review. You know, some of y'all even give a mortician a review. Who had the body? How'd they do? How'd they look? You know, did he look like himself? You know, come on, of course he ain't gonna look like himself. He's dead, you know. But you know how we do. Oh, they had about two shades too light, too dark, you know. Oh, that didn't even look nothing like him. And so we give the review. Oh, don't take the body there. All kinds of places. You know, you take your car to a particular shop, you're gonna give a review. They had good customer service. They did you right, didn't try to rip you off, guaranteed their work. And we tell other people if we had good service. And we tell other people if you had some bad service. Boy, I pulled out a lot. As soon as I got off the lot, my car broke down again. You're going to warn somebody not to go there, right? All right? I tell all the time, you know, certain situations and things I've had around the house that have broken down on me. I bought a vacuum cleaner, Shark vacuum. I tell you all day long to buy a Shark vacuum. You can call them up, and I tell you what, good customer service. Didn't have my receipt, had none. They sent me a whole nother vacuum in the mail. If you're going to replace a faucet in your house, you know, I do a lot of things around the house. Buy a Delta faucet. You know why? Because a Delta faucet come with a lifetime warranty, and they don't play with it. Call them up. They're going to send you a whole nother faucet out there. You know, and so you tell other people whether or not you had good service or whether or not you had bad service. Anybody in here, when you get on Amazon, how many Amazon shoppers? I figure that's why everything's shut down around here, you know, because y'all can't even go out and buy groceries no more. Just get them delivered to your house, Amazon, everything. But you know how we do. You know, you might look at the product or whatever you're looking for, and then what do you do? Start scrolling on down until you get to the reviews. And if I see enough negative reviews, I'm going to go find another product. You know why? Because I know if the customers have already kind of warned me, you know, we stick together as customers, we're going to warn each other about a bad product that's just going to break down, all right? Now, if you have read the reviews about a particular product, or maybe you read the reviews about a particular place to go, and you still decide to buy it, or you still decide to go there, then that's on you. Amen? You can't blame nobody for something that you have decided to done or to do, even though that you've already read all the reviews about it. Now, what I wanted to do today is just kind of read the reviews, if you will. And there's a place that the Bible mentions, and I've read enough reviews about it to recognize, to understand. You don't have to be super, super smart to really read these reviews and understand that you don't want to go here. Now here, I really didn't want to preach this message today. I really didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but there is a place in the scripture called hell. And I want to tell you today, you don't want to go there. Can I get an amen from somebody that knows a little bit about the scripture on today? Amen. Read all about the review, and I don't know about you, but I decided I want to take another trip. Amen. I want to bypass that. I leave that for somebody else, but as for me and mine, I don't know about you, but I got heaven in view. I want to see Jesus' face in peace. I don't want to have nothing to do with the hell that I have read about in the scripture. Can I get one more amen from somebody in here today? Oh, God. You know, hell was not prepared for us to inhabit. Y'all hear that? It was not meant for human habitation. It was not prepared for you and for me. The scripture even tells us in Matthew 25 and 41. Just go with me in the scripture. We're going to read some reviews about this place that's mentioned in the scripture called hell. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Listen to this. Prepare, not for you, not for me, prepare for who? The devil and his angels. Now, on the contrary, there is a place called heaven, my God, that was specifically designed for the saints. And I made up in my mind, I'm going to do whatever it would take for me to go there, my God. I've read the reviews about this place, and I've made up in my mind already where I want to go. John 14 and 2, in my Father's house, Jesus says, there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare, y'all hear that? He prepared this place for you, amen, with you in mind. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now, I want to tell everybody in here, there's only one way that you can get to heaven. There's only one way that you can avert hell and miss out on hell, and that is through Jesus Christ. How many people still believe there's only one way to God? My God. He goes on in verse number 6, same chapter 14. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Somebody in here needs to insert a praise for Jesus and his precious shed blood. Come on, somebody. Give him. Thank God for Jesus and his precious shed blood. John 3 and 5, he says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit. You must be born again, you all. You got to be born of water and spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee. Why you at? You know, don't look like this is just some strange. Marvel not. Amen. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Somebody say, I must be born again. Don't tell your neighbor, tell yourself right now. I must be born again. My God. Now, conversely, you know, there's only one way to get to God, only one way to get to heaven through Jesus Christ. But conversely, there's a whole lot of different ways that you can go to hell. You can go the way of fornication. You can go the way of lying and cheating and womanizing and stealing and cussing and fussing and fighting and starting trouble, you know, and all them type of things. Or you can go the way of self-righteousness, thinking that you can get right all by yourself and you can just work your way into heaven. You can go that way too. A whole lot of different options and roads that will lead you to a devil's hell. My God. Amen. But notice what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9. Can we take a little time and let me just read some reviews? I know you scroll up a whole lot of time and read reviews about different places and different products, but let me give you a little review right now. Amen. Whole lot of ways to get to hell. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Stop and think about it for a minute. I just want to slow somebody down. You're moving a little bit too fast, so I just want to slow you down a little bit and just allow you just to slow down enough to read the reviews. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Get mad at the word. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is the part I love. And such were some of you. Somebody tell your neighbor that. You were some of y'all in here, such were some of you. Come on, what's it going to say? But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. Any sanctified people under the sound of my voice. Come on, let me just hear you give God a praise. Thank God I've been washed. Anybody in here that's been washed in his blood? Not very many. Anybody been washed? Let me ask that question again. Anybody been washed in his blood? Now ye are washed, amen, now ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, amen, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God, amen. So a whole lot of different roads, amen, that can lead you to hell, but only one way to get to heaven. A lot of places you can go on vacation. You know, I'm taking a vacation soon. You know, next week I believe I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to take a little time out for myself. Y'all mad? Don't get mad. I am. I need a little time. So, amen. So if you don't get a call back, amen, it's not because I don't love you. It's sometimes, and I want to say this. Let me just stop and say this. A whole lot of times, you really don't understand how much time goes into this. You know, I know, you know, you might think the pastor's job is just to stand up on Sunday morning, but it's a lot more than just this. Trust me, you know, it's a whole lot more. And sometimes you can even go home and it's still, you know, even though you're home, you're still here. You know what I mean? You know, so sometimes you have to be intentional about taking some time out. You know, but you can go a whole lot of different vacations. If you want to, you can go to see the beautiful Grand Canyon. How many been to the Grand Canyon before? You can go to Arizona and see the beauty of God's creation. Amen. A lot of different places. Go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, if you want to. Go on down there and drive or fly. I'd rather fly if I were you. But go on down there to Florida if you want to. You can go to that little strip called, you know, Key West. Beautiful place. Lots of beautiful places. You can wait till fall time and you can see the beautiful leaves and take a trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee and go up in the mountains and take your little nice cabin, just you and your wife, you know, and have a nice little time. Leave the kids with somebody else. Just have a beautiful time to yourself. Amen. Some of you all, you might want to go down to New Orleans or something like that. You know, be careful as you walk Bourbon Street. Some of y'all want to go to Vegas and all these other places. Watch out. Amen. And you know, you can take a trip. Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. Some of y'all with a whole lot of money going down there. Hawaii, all these things. You can can take a boat, you can take a car, you can take a plane. Some of you all love to go on cruises. I got a friend look like every time I look, going on a cruise, you know. You know, I'm like, Lord, going on another cruise. You know, there's a whole lot of different places that you can go, a whole lot of different methods of transportation that you can take. But let me tell you this, there is only two destinations for your soul. When you die, there are only two places that your soul will go, either heaven or hell. Now, I know we don't want to talk about a lot of those things, but I just want to slow us down for a little while and just let us read some of the reviews. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 46. Only two places on Judgment Day. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but righteous unto life eternal. Now, notice that the length of the time for the lost in hell is exactly the same duration as those who are saved in heaven. Now, if I'm going to spend eternity somewhere and only got two options, and I've read the reviews about it, I'm going to choose heaven because it's forever. Y'all hear that? Let me say that again. If it's forever, eternally, perpetually, always. It doesn't let up. It goes on and on and on. And after you spend a million years there, it would have just begun. It will go on and on and on. And so it's to your best interest that you make the right choice on today. My God. Come on. Now, let's go down here to Matthew chapter number 5 and 29. Am I doing all right today? I know this might sound kind of strangely antiquated to some people, you know, but I want to make it very plain that every unforgiven sin, amen, by those who reject Jesus Christ, you will pay for eternally in hell. Every unforgiven sin for those who would reject Jesus Christ, that's a high price tag. Ooh, anybody in here glad that he paid the price for you? Woo, anybody, God, just take a minute and just think about it. He paid, that was a high price tag. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus came and rescued me. How many are saved in here today? Let me hear just from the saved people, and you're glad to be saved. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Got to take it seriously. I wasn't excited about this message, but some of these things that is just necessary. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, what's it say? Pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Now, you might get mad at this preacher, but this is Jesus talking. Now, you mean tell me Jesus had to preach about hell sometimes and talk about hell? This is Jesus. Now, get mad at him. And if thy right hand offend thee, what does it say? Cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And, you know, sadly, there are those who have taken this scripture so literally that they have actually, you know, plucked out their eye. But the problem with that, you know, you can pluck out your eye, you can cut off your hand, but, you know, you can sin with your other eye. You can castrate yourself and still have a lustful thought. I mean, come on, you can do all those things. But I believe what Jesus is trying to show us is the severity of the ordeal. Amen. If there's something that you need to give up, it would be worth you giving it up so that you can be saved. If there's something that you need to let go of, if there's a habit that you need to break, if there's somebody that you need to walk away from, if there's a place that you need to stop going, my God, the severity of the situation is so great that you need to have a made-up mind and talk to yourself and convince yourself, I don't want to go to hell. Trying to beg and plead with you. Somebody has come and paid the price for you. And it's called, and if you just put your faith in them and decide to walk with Jesus Christ, you can miss this place. Amen. There's so many bad reviews that are written on. Amen. Right, just sit down now for a minute. Let's go on in scripture just for a little while long. Let me get to where I want to go to. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 10. I just got to help somebody on today. I feel a seriousness of the hour. You know, I don't know what the Lord is trying to do or who he's trying to wake up or talk to, but you never really know when it'll be your last time to hear the word of the Lord. Oh. You know, and I'm telling you, and I just don't want to have the blood on my hands. You know, at the end of the day, after the message, you know, I'm the mailman, you know, and I just come and deliver the mail. I'm just trying to help somebody. It's up to you what you do with it. You can walk out of here and keep on living the way that you've been living, or you can heed the word of the Lord and repent. Thank God for the gift of repentance. Somebody in here, oh my God, you might have thanked God for a whole lot of different gifts. Somebody gave you a diamond ring, a new car, some new threads to put on. My God, bought you a new bike or whatever. You know, somebody invested in you. But thank God for the gift of repentance. Thank God that he woke me up just in time. Thank God that he diverted me. Amen. I was on my way to a devil's hell, my God. But thank God for Jesus rescuing me before I made shipwreck and a disaster of this life that he's blessed me with. Come on and give God praise for salvation. I'm glad I'm saved. Somebody shout, I'm glad I'm saved. Saved. Hallelujah. Woo, God, hallelujah. Somebody just reach up for me. I'm so glad I'm saved. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, God, hallelujah. Don't you let anybody talk you out of heaven. Don't you let anybody just come and discourage you and, you know, push you out of the church. Yeah, we got problems around here. Come on, I tell you what, you know, wherever you got people, you're going to have problems. You know, what do you expect to see when you go into a hospital? If it wasn't nobody sick in the hospital, what's the point of us having a hospital? You know, when you come to a church, you expect to see some people that need some help, my God. And if all you do is come in here and you focus on it, you go looking for trouble and you go looking for problems, my God, you're going to find it. But if you would just look up and look to Jesus, trying to rescue you, trying to wake you up, my God. You can be saved today, my Lord. Somebody tell yourself, I can be saved. Come on and tell yourself, I can be saved today. My God. And if somebody talks about you, let me tell you this about folks that like to run people down. Let me pause for a minute and just tell you this. Listen, when people run people down, they'll find somebody else to talk about. Say, for instance, you did get involved in something horrible and made poor choices. And, I mean, you got embarrassed. And, I mean, the whole church just found out about it. Let me tell you this. As soon as they run you and you became somebody's dinner time passing conversation, they'll move on to the next thing. Y'all remember a couple years ago that Me Too movement? Remember all that? It seemed like every day they had a different man on TV. You know, this one, I dare not say names, but after this one, then this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. Now, even in the way that we started 2024, y'all notice the messiness and all the gossip that's going on in this year? I mean, one person after another person after another person. And guess what? A gossiper's appetite is insatiable. Can't be satisfied. They just got to run around and talking about, but don't let that thing discourage you. If God is knocking on your door and God is giving you some repentance, he's beckoning you back to himself. I don't care about the stairs. I don't care what somebody said about you. Whosoever will, let him come. Come on and get saved. Come on and get saved while you're. It'd be worth it all. You're missing out, my God, on that destruction eternally in hell, my God. Amen. You can take a couple of stairs, amen. But what you will not be able to put up with is an eternity in a place called hell, my God. Get saved while you got a chance. Don't you let somebody run you up out of here. Worried about what people say about you. Come on with me to Matthew 10 and 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Lord, help me to communicate this to these people. God, help me to wake somebody up. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. Now, hold on, slow down for a minute and read this. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, so in other words, if they talked about me, they're going to talk about you. Now, this is Jesus. If they talked about Jesus, they're going to talk about the followers of Jesus. How much more shall they call them of the household? I'll read it in the New Living Translation. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, they call me Beelzebub, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. Now let's go on back to the King James in 26. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. When I tell you, or what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. Amen. Make this thing public. Whatever he gives you, make it public. Amen. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now, this is the one I want you to tune into, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't you have so much, you know, reverence and fear for man that you forget the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom? Amen. Don't you love the praises of men more than you love the praises of God? Which one would be more important? What somebody says about you, or hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant? How many people want to hear well done? Oh, God. All right. Now, come on with me. I got a few more reviews that I want us to read. You know, scroll on up. Scroll up. Matthew 13. Read some more of these reviews about this place in the scripture. Matthew 13 and 24 tells us, even Jesus, he spoke of how the wheat and the tare are going to grow up together. Y'all hear that? And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, I mean, Matthew 13, 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. All right? Now, y'all ain't going to be shouting on this message, but just sit down. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and sprung forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, this is not thou sow good seeds in thy field? From whence then hath it all these tares? And he said unto him, an enemy hath done this. Thy servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. A lot of times we don't want to talk about hell. All right, let's skip on down to verse number 36. You know, the disciples wanted a breakdown of this. Explain this to us, what you're talking about. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So Jesus made it real plain, just in case there's some questions in here. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, if I read something like that, wailing and gnashing of teeth, if there was some place that you told me, you know, you go there, you're going to get wailing and gnashing of teeth. I got online and I propped my little computer up and I start typing in. I read the reviews about a particular restaurant. Where you go here, you're going to get wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, we're going to just run there, right? No, we're going to try our best to avoid. I'm not going to a place, amen, if I read the review that has been written for years and years and years, amen, has been out there. Why on earth would you make hell your choice? You know, but what's interesting is it wouldn't matter how many times you read it. Really wouldn't matter, you know, you done heard preachers preach it. You heard mama talk about it, daddy talk about it, Sunday school teachers talk about it. It's been written in the word of God. There's been prophets who have come and tried to warn you. You know, I really believe if the Lord was to release somebody from the pit of hell to come back and try to talk to you about it and try to keep him and avoid you from coming, you probably still wouldn't listen to him. Now, I'm in the word today. Just come with me. Let me just slow down today. Let me take you to the word, Luke chapter number 16. Verse number 19, there was a certain rich man. Lord, I just heard him go home. This ain't the type of message you just want to, I wish we could just shout and stuff today, you know. But there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So we got, look at the contrast. You got one that fared sumptuously, and then you have one that was just wanting some crumbs. And he came, but notice how the roles reverse in eternity. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. Now notice, you know, before Lazarus on earth was just begging for a crumb. And now in eternity, the rich man is just begging for one drop of water, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. What kind of flame is that? That just one, I just begging for one little drop of water, for I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, listen to what this prayer, he's praying a prayer from hell. I pray thee therefore, Father, a prayer after it's too late. Oh. Oh, God, Jesus, a prayer when it's too late. I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send me to my father's house, for I have five brethren. Listen, I got five brothers. I don't want to go here, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If you send one back from the dead, they'll listen. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My God. Somebody just take a little time and evaluate. You won't hear the preacher. It wouldn't matter if somebody came back from the dead. If you won't hear mom and daddy, the Sunday school teacher. If you won't hear the written word of God after you read all. You're quick enough to you'll read an Amazon review and you'll believe that and bypass that product. But when you read the word of God, why on earth would you still choose to go to this place? Especially when you got a great big God who loves you and sent his only begotten son so that you would never have to darken the doors of a devil's hell. Somebody one more time give God praise for Jesus. Regardless of whether you hear the warnings or not, I think sometimes it's good for us just to slow down in the church, amen, and talk about the severity of our choices, amen. And where's the trajectory of this course? Where is my life taking me? Ever stop to think about this? Where is this thing taking me, amen? My God, come on with me to Revelation 14 and 9. I'll be done after a while. Just bear with me for a little while. Let me just deliver my soul on today. I wasn't looking forward to doing this either, but sometimes we just got to slow down. My God, Revelation 14. I'm going to tell you, it's not just something that will last just a little while. And the third angel, verse number 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, y'all watch out, bound to the God of this world, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse number 11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. In other words, it just goes on perpetually. It continues. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. We all got a choice that we have to make. Mark chapter number 9. Let me just keep going. Read some of these reviews just today. That's all we're going to do, just read some reviews. Mark 9 and 43. Listen to the severity of this. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands, or than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not. Now, when you hear something several times in Scripture, it ought to give you some pause. Let's go back to 43 for a minute. Let's have a little Bible study for a minute. 43, fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 45, towards the end, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Verse 46, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Verse 48, we can go to actually 48, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. My God. Knowing how terrible hell is, it will be worth any sacrifice that you have to make to avoid it. When you read about how terrible this place is, God will make you want to just avoid it at all costs. You know, and a whole lot, let me say this, a whole lot of folk believe in hell. A lot of people, you know, you ask the majority of Americans, you believe in hell? You might get a few. You know, I know we've had different heretics that have stood up and tried to explain away hell. And, you know, and maybe some of you all convinced that there is no hell. You know, regardless if you convinced yourself or, you know, or whatever you tried to put together to, you know, have some argument against it, it's still hell. It's still a reality, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, and it's interesting to me that we believe in hell, but for some reason we just don't feel like anybody's going. Luke chapter number 13 and 5, there's only one way that you can avoid this trip, and that's through Jesus Christ. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus was going on in this, you know, if you read the scriptures above, he was talking about all these horrible things that people had heard happen about different groups of people. Then he tells us, except ye repent. They ain't no different from you. You know, it's somehow, you know, certain people, they feel like nothing bad can ever happen. You know, ever met somebody, I had a particular member of my family that had to go to jail. And you thought, you know, just because your last name is Chambers, don't mean you can't go to jail. I don't care. I'm going to even say this. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I can't go to hell. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean, you know, we don't all of a sudden just get to live above. I can't even run around the city of Indianapolis and just drive down Georgetown Road as fast as I possibly can, going 85 miles an hour down here in the 45, and the police pull me over and say, well, I'm a pastor of Agape Apostolic Faith Assembly. Who you think you're pulling up? It don't work like that. And I'm here to tell somebody, you're moving too fast. Slow down while you got a chance, my God. Wake up while you got a chance, my God. Hear the word of the Lord trying to spare you from an eternity in darkness in hell, my God. Hallelujah to God. You know, I was thinking the other day about that. Y'all see on the news that little guy that I think was in Nevada and jumped over. I mean, here's a sentence that was, he came in the courtroom. And, you know, and he's trying to, you know, talk to the judge all nice and talk about why he don't need to be arrested and all these things. And, oh, don't lock me up. And then all of a sudden when that judge, you know, came down with the gavel and decided, no, you know, I'm not hearing all that. All of a sudden the boy just jumped up. The boy was trying to explain away why he didn't need to be locked up, why he wasn't a menace to society. Jumped over, I believe, the plaintiff's booth and jumped over the bench. I mean, it was airborne and tackled the judge. I want to let you know this. When you stand before God, you will not be able to have a temper tantrum. You're not going to be able to just jump over, you know, the booth and try to tackle God. You know, when the sentence comes down, amen, it will be as he has said it will be. And while you got time to change, come on and wake up and change right now. While you got the time, somebody give God praise because he's trying to change you. Come on, give God praise for repentance today. Come on, give God praise for Jesus and his precious shed blood. Give God praise for the word of the Lord is trying to warn you. My God, if I didn't love you, you know, I would just run around and just, you know, want to just shout and have a good time and, you know, and tell you trouble don't last always. But when I tell you what, that phrase will not be in hell. You ain't going to be able to use that and just encourage yourself in hell. Trouble will last always if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Revelations 20 and 11. You ain't going to be able to jump over, you know, and attack somebody. And I saw, you ain't going to be able to just kick and scream and have a temper tantrum. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know. You might, I'm telling you right now, get your name written in the book of life. Come on, you might not have your, I don't know about where you're going to have your name written. I've said it before. You might not see your name in lights. Your name might not be in the history books. My God, your name might not be on a plaque somewhere. Y'all might forget all about me after I die. And that's all right. I'm not worried about y'all remembering. You ain't going to have no long funeral for me. I don't need you even having to come up here and say a whole bunch of words about me. You know, if you have a little short funeral, I mean, to be honest, if you just put me out for heavy trash pickup, I ain't worried about it. It's as long as my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. How many know that's more important than what people say about you? What does God say about you, my God? They can have a long 4 or 5 hour funeral, my God. Get up here and lie about you. But what does God say? What did God see, my God? Hallelujah. Were you willing, my God, to receive his righteousness? My God, were you willing to be clothed in his righteousness? My God, it's got to be his. That's right. My God, for God, listen to this, so loved the world. Let me give you some good news. John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son. Wanted you to avoid this place so bad that he sent his own son, gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what, y'all? Saved. Somebody shout saved. Saved. Somebody shout saved again. My God, and there's only one way to escape. Amen. This is what I told you. I just spent maybe the last half hour, 40 minutes talking about only one. Again, I want to say it again. Only one way to escape. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. You ain't got to look no further than Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody again say, we must be saved. Now make it personal. I must be saved. Now that was rehearsable. Make it personal. I must be saved. You ain't even got to shout it. Come on, tell yourself, I must be saved. I must be saved. Come on, tell yourself that I must be saved. My God. Come on, Acts 2:37. Oh, Lord, I'm almost done. Now, when they heard the word of the Lord being preached by Peter, they were pricked in their heart. And somebody in here today might be pricked in your heart on today. I hope somebody got pricked in the heart. And said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? My God. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the what? Remission. What you say now? Remission. That word remission, what does it mean? Forgiveness or pardon of sins. It is as if it never happened. He'll make your sins as if it would be removed, as if you never did the removing, the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized. Why do we get baptized? For the remission of sins. Let me say that back to you. Let me hear you say that back to me, rather, Apostolic Church. Why do we get baptized? Say it one more time. Why do we get baptized? And what does he say? What's the promise that he gives? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God praise for the Holy Ghost on today. Save, 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 save. You know, What do we use that word for? Saved. We talk about saved all the time. I remember Bishop getting up, saved. Y'all say, y'all saved, 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 and all those things throwing around. But we're saved from what? You know, if I was opening up testimony service, you know, somebody would get up here and say, I've been saved, you know. Look where he brought me from. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Woo! You know, somebody get up and talk about how he saved them from drugs and alcohol. And, you know, then maybe somebody else will stand up and talk about some things that the Lord brought me out of lying and stealing. You know, and you never get nobody to stand up and talk about how they was a gossip and would run folk down, you know. But in their heart and their mind, they were new to the Lord, saved them, amen, and got a hold of that tongue that used to run other folks down, my God. You know, and after a while, we go around here and folks would tell their story how the Lord brought them out, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Lord brought you out of a whole lot more things. Listen, he saved you from something that had more consequences than just in this lifetime, my God. The Lord saved you not just from poor choices, my God. Didn't just save you from drugs and alcohol, but the Lord saved you from a devil's hell. And somebody in here, you need to give God praise for it. Oh! Save! Somebody shall saved again. Oh, he saved me. You know, if I was in a little bit of trouble, you know, and you helped me out. Say I would walk around here and I have my shoe untied. You know, and Sister Deborah Enoch said, Pastor, you know, you got your shoe untied. And I say, you know what? Well, sis, thank you. You know, and then you know, somebody else, brother over here, said, you know what, brother? You got your flies unzipped. Oh, you know, and I'd be like, thank you, brother. You saved me from an embarrassing ordeal. I appreciate that. But there's a whole lot more, you know, if she just says, you know, you had your shoe untied, and, you know, and then somebody else told me, you know, something that had a bigger consequence to it. You know, say, for instance, there was somebody, you know, Sister Deborah or Sister Brown, she pulled me to the side and she said, you know, Pastor, you know, this person's trying to get over on you. You know, I got some discernment, and I know this person's trying to scam you. And she warned me about that. But, you know, I would say thank you, and that would be, you know, I'd be appreciative for what she did for me. But if somebody pulled me to the side and told me there's a whole mob of men outside your house that are trying to kill you, and Brother Rain stopped me from going home, you know what I would look at him and I would say? It would be a whole lot more of appreciation and thanks when I recognize that Brother Rain saved my life. Now, you just saved me from an embarrassing ordeal, but Brother Rain over here saved my life. What I'm trying to wake up the church to, when you shout, I'm saved, is more than just alcohol or drugs, my God. It's more than just an embarrassing ordeal. It's more than just people talking about you, but he saved you from a devil's hell. Somebody in here ought to recognize what Jesus did for you. How many are glad to be saved today? Come on, saved people. Give God some praise. Saved. Saved. My God. Let me just hear the saved people. Come on, take about 15 seconds and just give the Lord praise. Saved. Mind, that's all right if you was just going to have a little fall or a little embarrassing moment, or maybe you was just going to have to put up with the church talking about you. But when I think about he diverted me around a devil's hell, when I think about I was on my way to spending eternity in hell and he saved me, come on, you ought to give God praise today. My Lord, and there's some of you all, you need to still be praising God. You know what? I talked about it on Tuesday night Bible class. The same that has been forgiven of much is the same that loves much. Let me hear those that have been forgiven of a whole lot. My God, come on, you ought to be pouring your praise out on him, my God. I come to pour my praise. Come on, like oil, hallelujah. Wash his feet with my tears. Dry him with my hair, my God. He's done so much. Been so good. Come on, save people. Just a little while longer. Come on, send up the prayer. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord. My God. You know, it's different. Hallelujah. See a little homeless man sitting outside and you feed him a cheeseburger, that's one thing. But if you would take that homeless man and you bring him into your house and you shower him and you feed him and you give him a place to stay, that's a whole lot more appreciation, amen, than he would give to somebody who just gave him a dollar and took him out to Burger King. God saved you! Hallelujah. Come on, y'all not getting it. Ephesians, sit on down for a minute. I'm almost done. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins,
where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh. Everybody was guilty as charged, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, oh my God, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Come on, somebody, give me one more prayer. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You ought to give God praise. You ought to give God thanks. He saved me from a devil's hell. My God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That ought to humble us. Not of works. I can't boast about this. He saved me. It was him that did. I didn't save myself. I didn't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. He saved the day. You know what that word saved me is? He rescued me. My God. He's my hero. He's my hero. He's the one that came in and swooped in right on the nick of time. I'm not talking about Superman or a Marvel comic book hero. You know, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Swooped in right on time and he saved the day. Come on, saved people. Give God one more praise today. Saved. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what should happen. Anytime you tell somebody, I'm saved, it ought to be with that type of appreciation and gratefulness. He saved me for eternity in hell, my God. Saved me from having to go. Paid the price for me at Calvary. My God, he knew the consequence was so dire and so severe and so eternal, my God, that he himself got on Calvary's cross. Paid a sinless man, paid, amen, the price for me, the guilty, and I give him praise for that on today. Oh, let me give you one more scripture. I'm going to let you go on out of here. Revelation 21 and 1. Oh, I can feel the presence of the Lord dealing with somebody on today. Ah, hallelujah to God. Started off with the bad news. Amen. Now, let me maybe get to some good news. And I saw a new heaven. We talked about hell. And we read a lot of the reviews, but let me just read at least one review. Is it all right, Sister Nettie, if I just read a little review about heaven on today? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacles of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now listen to this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh God. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, there ain't gonna be no more crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. Come on, little overcomer. Some little overcomer, you ought to stand to your feet right now. He that overcome, he that's been pressing your way, my God. He that's had to cry sometimes down here. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Come on, give the Lord some praise today. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, open up your mouth. He saved me. He saved me. He saved me. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. So glad I'm saved, I'm saved. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now this is what he saved you from. Go to verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second birth. Our second death, brother. I'm sorry. Second death. You know, I think about that scripture, 1 Corinthians 6. Such were some of you, but I'm saved today. I'm saved. So glad.
So glad. I'm saved.
Let me hear the congregation. Come on. I'm saved. So glad. I'm saved. So glad. Y'all be quiet. Musicians, just play for a minute. Come on, save musicians. It's good to have some saved musicians. Are the musicians glad to be saved too? How many out there, any brothers in here glad to be saved? Let me hear just the brothers. Come on, brothers only. I'm saved. Come on, brothers. I'm saved. Come on. All of the sisters say, I'm saved. Glad to be saved.
So glad I'm saved.
Any young people, just the young folk, I'm saved. It's okay. God got a few young folks saved.
So glad
I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Brother Tim on the drum. He glad to be saved, y'all. Come on, let's get a little praise for Brother Tim on them drums. Brother Jamal, you glad to be saved back there on that organ? Anybody glad? Go ahead. Come on, Brother Tim, let Jamal just play your saved song. Go ahead, I'm saved.
All right.
My God, I'm glad to be saved. Oh, oh. Brother Taiwan on the bass, just play a bass line. Yo, so I'm just saved. If I gotta be all by myself, I'm just glad to be saved. Some of y'all young people going to school, you might feel like you're the only one saved, but I'm still glad to be saved. You might be the only one on your job all by yourself, but anybody, if I gotta stand alone, I'm glad to be saved. And let me let you know, you're not by yourself. You're never alone with the Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody, one more time. Glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. Get those hands up, say, glad I'm saved.
Glad I'm saved.
Yes, I am.
Glad I'm saved.
Glad I'm saved.
Glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved.
Come on, in just a minute, we're going to make this appeal for the altar call. Amen. I want the ministers to go ahead and get in position right now. I'm going to open up this altar, and I want you to not just waste a lot of time. Come and move quickly. even right now, if the word of the Lord has found you, if God is drawing you, if God has come knocking on your door or caused your heart to be pricked, come on down to this altar today. Repent of your sins, both saint as well as sinner. Somebody, if you found yourself moving in the wrong direction and you need the Lord to forgive you, you need some prayer on today, come on down to the altar. If there's somebody in here that's repented of your sins and you want to have your sins washed away today, and you want to go down in the name of Jesus, or there's somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, come on down. Come on down.
I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved.
So glad.
So glad. I'm saved, I'm saved.
Oh,
I'm saved.
Saved today. It is not his will that any should perish. He's long suffering to us. He's giving you repentance even right now. Lord, for your salvation. Father,